All right, it's Tuesday. You know what that means. Show Me the Money Club live Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Rideshare Guy. What's going on, Sergio? How you doing?
Excellent, sir. 78 and beautiful in California today.
Oh, you're lucky. It's 22 and cold, and luckily we didn't get that big giant storm
Sucks
that went up
for
the
you.
Northeast, but it's just cold right now, so
Sucks
unfortunate.
For you. Sucks for
but,
you.
Yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. All right. Well, you know what you came for. So let's get right into it.
Oh, yeah.
We have our rundown going through. So we have special guest Mike Greenbaum of Safeguard Properties coming on in just a few moments. Then we're going to go into our rapid fire rideshare discussion, the today's top gig news that you need to know in a very short and condensed time frame, 90 seconds each. We're going to be talking about how Uber's acquiring parking app Spot Hero. Uber announcing a new set of services for autonomous vehicles. Uber CEO claims most rides will be robot operated in 20 years. Mm-hmm. Uber Eats driver killed, unfortunately, in Austin. Mm-hmm. And DoorDash Grubhub shut down New York City during Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't talk about Uber Eats or Instacart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got our driver-centric topics, which is going to be talking about a new Uber passenger scam, but same endgame. It's trying to get your money. And then we're going to be talking about Uber Timer now shows wait pay. And we're going to talk about the same trip, different ride type, what the explanation is on that. So you might see UberX, and then you might see UberX Priority. What's going on? We'll explain that a little bit more. Then we're going to be talking about the upfront fare bug is burning drivers. We're going to be talking about lowering pay for the same trip is still happening on Uber.
Mm.
Then now it's caught on Lyft. So Lyft is now caught shaving pay for the same rides as well, too. So we got screenshots of that. Then we're going to get into Uber's upfront pay makes no sense. And Uber is now looking at enacting stricter background checks. So will you still be able to drive after all that or not?
All for it.
Yeah. So we got quite a bit to run down. But first, we do have our guest, Michael, coming on. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Michael, welcome to Show Me the Money. Are we going to show our audience the money? I guarantee we will today. People, pay attention. What do we hear? What do we say here? What do we say? Show me the money, right? We're always looking out for drivers to supplement, you know, put more money in their pockets. And this is going to be an interesting way. Chris and I, we both love it. Actually, I think we're both going to give this a run. So with that said, Michael, CEO of Safeguard Properties, welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself and what the company is, and we'll go on from there.
Yeah, thanks, Sergio. Yeah, my name is Mike Greenbaum, Chief Operating Officer for Safeguard Properties. I've been with the company for 15 years. Safeguard has been around since 1990. It was founded by a guy by the name of Robert Klein. He was actually interesting story about Robert. He was a New York City cab driver. He's, if anybody knows Robert, pretty famous guy within the actual property preservation world, but just a fanatical guy, just somebody that literally started this company in his garage, and then went out, you know, added a couple people and started growing something that was based out of Cleveland, Ohio. And eventually we started servicing literally the largest financial institutions in the entire world, and you know, cover every single, all 50 states, Guam, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and really build up a really nice business over the last 3.5 decades.
So now a lot of the audience that's watching this now and mostly on replay later are going to go, what does property anything to do with the rideshare? Listen up, here it comes. So what does Safeguard do? What does Safeguard Properties do?
Yeah, Safeguard's primary mission is when somebody falls behind on their mortgage, we are going to be the company, or it's typically about, I mean, we have a really large market share, so there's a really good chance Safeguard will actually end up being the company assigned the work. But what our first responsibility is to go out and do what's called an occupancy inspection. So we'll visit the property, and then and we will go up, we'll knock on the door, see if somebody answers. And then what we're doing is just taking in the information, you know, do I see lights on? Does it look like it's in a lived in condition? And then I have to make the actual call, whether it's vacant or it's occupied. And then, so typically what happens is every 30 days thereafter, if the person hasn't become current on the mortgage, the servicing company, the person that actually is servicing the mortgage we'll continue to order those inspections. And then, so, you know, what our independent contractors do is every 30 days, they'll get a work order. They'll go back out there. And then what they're going to do is just keep looking at the property. And if it remains occupied, we'll continue to report those results back to the servicing company. But once it becomes vacant, the other part that Safeguard does is we'll actually end up stepping into the property and starting to preserve and protect it while it goes through the actual foreclosure process. And that's the big thing. We have to make sure that that collateral of the house itself does not deteriorate over time, gets through the foreclosure sale and goes through that sales process.
Right. So that it doesn't get vandalized or some unwanted renters move in, kind of a thing, you know?
Exactly.
That's it. So I have a couple of questions because I'm going to do this actually. Now I go, somebody's late on their mortgage, right? I cannot assume that they're in a good mood.
Correct.
They may have gotten laid off. I mean, look, we don't know the circumstances, but we went through this in 2008, as all of you remember, folks, great financial crisis, mortgages went upside down, and let's not get into that. But so as a gig worker, or let's say I'm a rideshare driver, I happen to be in the neighborhood, I have my work order, I have three homes that I'm going to go check it out. So this person may not be in a good mood. I go knock on their door. What is like, what could happen? Like, could I get punched out, or do they come out swinging, or what's happening? I mean, I'm sure there is some sort of risk there.
No, yeah, we do hundreds of thousands of these every single month. So we have plenty of volume behind it. No, I mean, so the direct protocol is you go and knock on the door, just like if a neighbor were to come and knock on the door. I mean, people don't instantly start getting aggressive. They just really just want to kind of understand, you know, why you're knocking on the door. And then what we do to kind of de-escalate the situation in our training is we're just very clear. You know, we're just here on the behalf of the bank. We're just trying to figure out if the property is still occupied or it's been vacated. And then we're out. You know,
de-escalating, by the way, Mike. We get some drunk passengers in the car. You could imagine what we go through 40 times a day sometimes. And it's just like they go like, yeah, you're belligerent. And then we highly recommend de-escalation. So so we are independent contractors, right?
Yes, 100%.
And talk to me a little bit about what do I need? Do I need a license? Do I need some paperwork? Do I need some permits to do this? What does Safeguard provide? Obviously, you just hinted there's some training that goes on, or there's some scripts that are handed out, how to talk to people, obviously, and the onboarding process. I know it's a loaded question, but let's just take it one at a time. Like, what does Safeguard provide to their independent contractors as far as training is concerned? Let's start.
Yeah, no, really good questions. So, yeah, when people express interest in becoming one of our independent contractors, the first thing that we're going to do is just make sure that we have a need in the area. So just to be very clear, there is a fair amount of demand for the work. Then what we'll do is what we don't want to do is we don't want to bring people on and then not be able to give them enough work. So that is part of the process. But let's say there's a supply demand imbalance. We definitely need to bring on additional independent contractors for that specific area. Then what we will do is we'll set you up with a person that we call a credentialer. And then what they do is they really hold the hand of the independent contractors. They're going through the process. So there is some background. There is a background check that has to be performed. It's a financial related entity. So we have to go through and make sure that a background check gets passed.
Okay.
And then the second thing is, you know, we'll actually need, you know, the property, the details, the address. We typically end up getting, obviously, a license just so we can identify the specific person. And then after that, then that's as long as the background check, you know, comes back and passes, then we will move you into what's called the credentialing process.
Okay.
And then that process itself, just because it really is 98% of our work is all done through a mobile application.
Okay.
It's all about just making sure that the person truly understands, one, how to log in, two, how to get your orders, three, what are the different order types? And then four is we're just going to kind of walk you through what we refer to as a script. And that's just the procedural process when you show up to the property. Take, you know, these four photographs, answer these six questions, you know, transmit, submit, get back in your car and go to the next property.
Yeah, all done through the app, right?
All done through the app.
Okay, so as you may or may not know, every single rideshare driver goes through a background check to onboard Uber and Lyft platforms. Is it a similar background check?
Yeah,
if I'm already went through a background check through Checker, they use Checker mostly, and I have a copy of it, can I submit that? And who pays for the background check?
Yeah, if there's already been a background check performed, we will take that. We also use Checker as well, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if I don't have a current one, or I, because usually when I do, when I'm asked by Uber to get a background check, I always save the latest one on my phone or on my computer. But let's say somebody didn't save it, I have to go through it anyway. Who pays for that?
Company
or the
Safeguard does. Yeah, we have a corporate account. We'll pull the background.
So you go. You guys pay for that. Okay.
Yeah.
So is there any requirement as far as car is concerned? Can I do this on a e-bike or whatever?
That's interesting. No, we don't have firm requirements, but I can assure you every single one of our people are actually probably doing it on a bike. Although that's an interesting question, because in some of these dense urban populations, you know, again, Chris and I are both in, I don't know, it's 20 degrees here. It's 22 where he is.
So none of us. Both.
Yeah, none of us are thinking about e-bikes. But I don't know, Sergio, I don't really care, to be honest with you. No, there isn't a requirement. Like a
Just checking all the boxes. Because I'm actually, I'm seriously going to do it.
Yeah.
But, okay, we talked about that. Onboarding process seems pretty similar because we've gone through this with Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Grubhub, blah, 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 all the other ones. And background check is pretty simple. The script is pretty simple. I'm pretty sure the app is very self-explanatory. We don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this.
Correct.
Now, we, as rideshare drivers, we drive, obviously. And what we complain mostly about is pay. Okay? So let's talk brass tacks here. So I'm not going to tell you to exactly put a number on it, but approximately, do you have some sort of numbers as far as what we could get paid? Is it per, by the way, is it per inspection?
Per work order.
Is it by the hour?
No, it's per inspection. Yeah, no, we definitely want to stay with productivity and reward people that can, you know, get through a very high quality, but do it really efficiently. What I will tell you is it definitely varies, just to be very clean about it. But you are right. We peg almost everything on total rev per day, total revenue per day.
Okay.
That's kind of what our target is. And then, so if you were in, like, let's just go with you, Sergio, like you're in Orange County, and let's just say you're in Dents and in the Los Angeles market. I mean, we have tens of thousands of those types of inspections. So our price point per inspection, and it varies a little bit just with traffic and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it ends up becoming much, it is lower there. But what we're kind of targeting, though, is that revenue per day. We're aware of what Uber and Lyft pays. What you guys will find is that on a, after you put in 8 hours of doing Safeguard work, it is a higher payout.
Okay. All right. Does Safeguard, since it's independent contractors, especially in California, does Safeguard fall under Proposition 22?
Do not.
Base? No?
No.
That's interesting, actually. Maybe you should look into that, Michael.
Yeah, maybe I should.
I mean, no, I'm serious. I mean, there's laws here, Prop 22, and then we get paid differently, like 120% of minimum wage and per mile. So again, we're independent contractors. The expenses are on us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just like rideshare. And when I log on, let's say I'm onboarded, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
When I log on, are there shifts like Amazon Flex, or how does that work?
No. So I think this is what would probably be most interesting to your audience. So what I would say is, like with an Uber and Lyft, you know, the demand is coming at you. You know, you're getting individual ride requests. You sort of have to stop what you're doing. You have to accept the ride and you got to go.
Okay.
With us, it's different because you can queue. So what I mean by that is typically our inspections need to get completed like within a 5 to 10 day period, which gives you a lot of ability to introduce route flexibility and also day flexibility to it. So the way that, you know, we've seen people in the gig economy, you know, tie in the Safeguard revenue flow or income flow is that's exactly what they do is they, you know, they will decide that, you know, they want to actually be active in Uber and Lyft, you know, during these hot periods of times. So they're, you know, making really good use of their time. Mm-hmm. Then what they'll use with Safeguard is, you know, that's going to fill the gaps for them. You know, so they will go to where the work is. And then, you know, if a ride pops up, they can stop what they're doing with Safeguard, pop over and meet that immediate demand, and then come back and pick up their route.
Okay. And you said, you know, you are cautious about oversupplying certain markets, obviously, right? Because that's another one of our main complaints is rideshare drivers that Uber and Lyft and DoorDash, they don't care how many drivers they just put out in the wild, right? Because for them, the more the merrier, and then you just sit in your car and waiting. How do you, like, is there waiting lists in certain states or cities, or how does that work out?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a waiting list. If you come through us and we like you, you know, like everything is checking out, we feel like you'd be a really good fit for us. We just have people in front of you that, you know, we have an existing long-term relationship with. You're 100% right. We will not bring people in, and we will not take from them. Typically, when we have needs, it's because our performance isn't at the standard that I want it at. You know, so we're typically trying to make sure that, you know, for our clients, you know, we're 98-99% in terms of scorecard. And then sometimes, you know, so that's what we're kind of looking for. If I have an opportunity to improve performance, then there'll be a spot open. Okay. So that's how we go about doing it. And then what we'll do is we'll bring people in. The other piece that we don't want to do is we don't want to overwhelm anybody. Okay. Meaning, I don't want to push, you know, 100 work orders at you. You don't really know exactly how the app is flowing quite yet, you know, make you already start to feel like you're behind the eight ball before you even got started. Yeah. So we do a pretty guided flow. So we'll typically start you out and give you 4 or 5 days to knock out like 25 work orders. And then, you know, you'll come back and you'll say, yeah, I've got it. It makes perfect sense to me. Get me scaled up.
Okay. Sounds good. Let me see. Is there anything I missed? No, I don't think I missed anything, but so am I hired? I'm good to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So folks, you know, I was kidding about that. Do not email me if there's a waiting list. There's nothing I can do about it. You just got to wait. Okay. So I'll get like 300 emails now. Oh, Serge, there's a waiting list. Can you put me on? I'm like, nope, can't do any of that.
Yeah.
Well, how many states are you guys in?
We're legitimately in all 50 states. We really, really are. And yeah, if you have some listeners in Alaska, love to have a couple new entrants there. Hawaii is really interesting. A lot of people use us in these remote areas, meaning the major servicers. In the financial industry, they like to use Safeguard just because of our volume, you know, to cover the more rural areas. So yeah, there's opportunities everywhere, to be honest with you.
Okay. So all 50 states and in Alaska. One last thing from me, and then I'll give you the floor for you to close. I honestly think this is like a really good fit for people who are driving, and you can do a few inspections during lunch hour if you're not choosing to do deliveries. Rideshare is dead at lunchtime, so go do your deliveries, especially, I mean, this is like, I think, better for a summer job, I think, almost, because there's more daylight, so you can do more inspections, probably. And I think I've gotten everything out of my system. I'm definitely doing it. So I'll give you the floor. Close us up.
Yeah, it sounds good, Sergio. Hey, the only concept I don't really think I touched on was this concept. A lot of times what we have is when we get a really good operator that joins our network, there is an opportunity with Safeguard to kind of build up a subcontractor network underneath of you. And we have definitely done that where, you know, we have inspectors right now. I would say there's probably at least 25 people that do more than 20,000 inspections in a given month. And obviously they don't personally do that.
A month?
Yeah. A month.
25,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but I'm definitely doing this.
Well, Sergio, just to be clear, they don't personally.
You can all be my subcontractors, folks. Yeah.
But what they've done is they've built a business, right? And they truly do build out a supply chain underneath of them. And then that's what they do. They just get amazing at it. And yeah, and to be honest with you, Safeguard's not the only company that does property preservation inspections. And we always encourage other people that, you know, you don't have to be exclusive with us. You're more than welcome.
As an independent contractor, right?
Yeah, and pursue it and build that density to me. Right. It's all about utilization. You know, how am I using my time throughout the day? I want to avoid gaps, right? And then, you know, it's all about density as well. You know, the more work I can get in a relatively local area, the better off I am. So, yeah, I think that's what Safeguard has to offer.
Yeah, this is one of the better things we've offered here, folks, seriously, because we do offer some stuff that just don't make sense, but then this one makes a lot of sense. So, well, Mike, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. You will be hearing from me. All the links are in the show notes. When I say show notes, you just click more, and then it drops down, and then all the email, website, Safeguard property information is in there. Please don't email me. Email them directly. I don't want to be another support agent for, like I am for Uber and Lyft, you know, because I'm not getting paid by Safeguard yet. So so if I do, I'm sure I'll get emails. I'll just forward them to you, Mike. That's what.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. All right. Well, thank you guys for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Have a good day.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. So that is Safeguard Properties. So if you're looking to do inspections on top of Uber and Lyft or, you know, delivery, you're going to be out driving around. And the nice thing is you can stack these things, as he was mentioning. So you can kind of go out and figure it out when you want to and what makes sense, as well as the route planning and optimizing that way. So if you're out and about and then all of a sudden it slows down, hey, go knock out a few of those and then make some extra money. A little extra money there for you.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle, who I know personally from Orange County. Michelle, if you're watching or you're going to watch later, email me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com. I think this is perfect for you. But I seriously, I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, it sounds good. I'm in Los Angeles. You know, I can kill this thing. Just.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, it makes sense because it's one of those extra tools in the toolbox. So, you know, if you're out and driving around and you're just on Uber or just on Lyft, which we tell you on multiple platforms do multiple things. This is just another tool in the toolbox. And the nice thing is when you are in a particular area, then, you know, let's say you have a couple of inspections, you just log off the app, go do those, make that money, and then turn the back app back on and you're good to go.
Did you hear that? He said 25,000 a month. Did he say?
Yeah, but what he's saying is you're a business owner and have employees that would go out and do the inspections.
Yeah, so but that's like if I made counting, dollar net of each one, it's 25K a month, bro. What are you talking about?
No, I know.
I will pay you all handsomely. I will not be like Uber and Lyft. I will pay you all. I'll just keep a dollar out of each inspection. Just a single dollar.
Yeah. So moral of the story is, you know what? Sign up. Or see if you are able to get in first off. That's one of the things I like too, is the fact that they have a wait list. So if certain areas have too many people, you can't get onboarded there at the moment. So that's nice in fact that you will probably be getting some sort of orders coming through and being able to make some extra money. And it could be some reliance. And then yes, for those business savvy people out there, if you want to be the business owner and hire people, or provide some sort of independent contractor relationship between that's underneath you as a subcontractor or subcontracting, then you could do that. Why wouldn't you? So
how hard could this be? I think this is easier than rideshare.
Yep.
Easier than delivery. How hard could this be? Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask. Is there like a rating system or some shit? Probably not. But who rates you? The homeowner is going to rate you one.
I would think that it would be, I think the rating system would be more based on, you know, work completed versus accepted and not completed or something like that.
Mm-hmm, okay. I'm definitely doing it 100%. Yeah.
100%. So for those who are interested in it, signing up, link is going to be in the description below. As Sergio had said, you can check it out. Easiest thing, like I say, sign up. Or get on the wait list. If you're onboarded, try it out. See if it's something that's worth it for you. Who knows? Maybe you could get out of Uber and Lyft and go straight to that if that's something you enjoy.
What's the downside?
Or work it with them. Or, you know, if not for you, you tried it, you came across it, and you said, meh. So it's all different things.
You know, I do look at everything, risk, reward, whatever. Like, what's the downside? I mean, you know, other than you getting shot by a homeowner, I mean, what's the downside?
I don't think you got that to worry about compared to, you know, these other things, but you know,
I worry about everything, so but I'm sure
either way,
some sort of thing. Anyway, so yeah, go check it out, folks.
All right, so yes, let's move on. We'll go to our rapid fire rundown discussion. And basically that is, if you don't know already, you should know. But that is where we're going to go over some of the most biggest news topics that you need to know. But it's only in a short time, so we're not going to be going back and
forth.
This
is a great idea, Chris. If interested, get a body cam. Display Ride has a body cam.
They do?
Brilliant. Yabba, 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 you, wherever you are. This is awesome, bro. Ah, look at this, Chris.
Yes, I know.
See what I mean?
Yep. You know what? Because I got a new computer, and I said, whatever, it is what it is. And then, you know, I had to get a couple of different things today, so I decided to finally sit down and fix it. And now the audio sync should be much better. If not perfect, it'll be much, much better. So it's not
hard
like...
Hard stop at 4:30, sir. Hard stop at
4:30. Hey, over there. All right, so let's do the rundown, the rideshare rundown. The first topic is Uber is to acquire parking app Spot Hero.
How much did they pay for this company?
A lot.
Yeah.
Either way, it's launched in 2011. Spot Hero became the industry leading parking reservation app with millions of drivers easily finding affordable parking, more than 13,000 garage lots and valets across more than 400 cities in the US and Canada. So what do you think about this?
I think this is all positioning for the autonomous vehicles. They're not going to use it for people parking because nobody is going to drive their personal cars anymore when autonomous vehicles take over the world, which will be in the next 5 to 10 years. I highly recommend Dara Khosrowshahi, the CEO of Uber, did one of my favorite podcasts on YouTube, DOAC, Diary of a CEO. He was full of shit as usual, but then that's okay. I'm going to do a video about that. So I think they're just doing this to have their autonomous vehicles parked, serviced, charged, all that stuff. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. So, yeah, that's what I think.
It's real possible that they're doing that. But for the time being, while you're looking for spots, you're making, you know, that revenue there. So it just seems like it's also a growth opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that's what it seems like they're trying to do. As a company, they want to continue growing. So if you are not buying companies and you are not growing yourself, you're stagnant and you're dying. So I think this is just part of their aspect in continuing to try to grow beyond just rideshare, food delivery, shop and pay, and all those things that they're doing. Obviously, autonomous vehicles. But yeah, I think this is just another one of those things where they're just trying to continue growing and they're throwing money at things for that type of growth.
Yeah, I think this is actually pretty interesting purchase by them. I'll look more into it, but I think that's one of the reasons that they're doing it for. But look, you know, Uber's growth has slowed, single digits at best. But then when your gross bookings are $200 billion a year, I mean, you know, gross does not go forever, right? And organic growth anyway. So this way it's outside stuff that they bring in, and we'll see where it goes, if it's accretive or not.
Yep. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about Uber unveiling new services as it prepares to bring robotaxis to LA. So this is announced a new set of services to support ride hailing AVs ahead of its launch in LA to take on Waymo. But also beyond looking at onboarding you know, fleets and fleet owners and fleet ownership. So that's
Hi, Uber. Another We're best friends, Uber. You're going to get my fleet for sure.
So what do you think about this, especially you being in LA?
I love it. I'm going to have my fleet. I'm just waiting. Elon, where's that little $25,000 two-seater with no steering wheel and no brakes and no gas? Where is it?
Well,
I'm right ready, now, Elon.
Well, they got the AI safety operators out there in like what 15 different cities that you could go
no,
in.
No, that's what the Model Y. I'm talking the Cybercab, the little one, the Gullwing.
Well, what
one,
do you th- what do you think they're one. Doing their training data on, man?
I'm waiting. If it's 25 so to 30K,
they're all doing their training data at the present moment, and they're. I mean, if you look into that, if you're in one of those cities, look into it because you get paid better than a rideshare driver and for you sure. get benefits on top of it. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about ruining your vehicle. So that's something to look into. But I think it's definitely interesting to see. And they're hitting this AV thing head on.
I like this one.
Yeah. I will. I'll put it on.
Stay away from my fleet, bro. Hey, I will be calling this guy.
If I invest into his fleet and he pays me, then, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Everybody's going to be able to invest. I will break that news when the time comes. Everybody's going to be able to invest. And we will have to call this gentleman right here and say, Dara, yep. I take back everything I said about you. I have 200 fleet in LA. Can you put him on your network, please?
Yep. So he made the bold statement that said, most rides could be robot operated within 20 years. Mm. You know what? I would go on a little thing and say that could be potentially true. And I like the fact that he's saying 20 years instead of 5 years, like some people will say. Mm. AVs are not there yet. They're not going to get there that as quick as everybody wants to say. They are, you know, continuing to scale, but they're not there yet. Unfortunately, I think he could be correct.
Partly. I think he's over. I don't think it's going to be 20 years. In fact, if you guys
I think he's talking about most rides, and that could include rural areas.
Rural, okay,
and things like that. Okay, so maybe. I mean, that's the thing. If you take a Waymo outside of its geofenced area, it'll sit there and has no idea what to do.
You can't do it.
It can't. But something like Tesla, they can. Yeah. It could potentially navigate where it needs to. So it might be a slow crawl, but it's still going to be able to do that. Either way, you know what I'll do? I'll start a business that's it's called Door Closer, and I will hire all independent contractors to be able to go and close the door.
I assure you, Daniel, those little Teslas with the gull wings, they will have automatic closing doors. There's not a fucking chance I'm paying a DoorDasher $11 to close my door. Not a fucking chance.
No. You'll have a little thing that will open and close the door, so they can't just slam the door shut or anything like that.
It'll give a little sound like touch the door. Yeah. Yep. Like Star Trek, you know, Star Trek.
Beep, beep, beep. Do not touch door. Do not touch door. Door opens automatically.
Sit your ass down. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. That's what's going to be. That's going to be my
remove hand from door so door can close, or door will close on your hand.
Yeah, my message, you know, when you get in a Waymo now, there's like a soothing lady's voice says, hello, Sergio.
Hey, if it's not Scarlett Johansson or Sydney Sweeney, I don't want to hear it. Moving on, next topic.
Hold on.
Unfortunately, I'm going to say. Moving on, I'm cutting your mic.
Get in, buckle up, shut up, and drive.
Cut the mic. All right, so moving on. Uber Eats driver killed delivering food in Austin. Another sad and unfortunate story of a Uber Eats driver being killed on the job. Moral of the story in this case is you got to be safe. You got to trust your gut, whatever you can. But unfortunately, in something like this, it's tough because you're going to people's houses and you don't get that necessarily feeling. You can understand maybe the area. You can understand certain things. Unfortunately, it's one of those things, though. If you got a weird gut feeling, you got to figure it out. You got to go act on it. Body cameras. Another thing, as Sergio mentioned earlier, with Display Ride, they have body cameras. Just different things that you can do in order to try to be safe. But Sergio, what do you got to say?
Well, I mean, we can do a whole show about this just on the weekly Uber, Lyft, DoorDash assaults, and you know, unfortunately, you know, driver assaults and carjackings and killings or whatever not. And unfortunately, that's part of the business. And you're out there by yourself. You got to look out for yourself. You can't just, you know, when your gut tells you shit's going sideways, get out of Dodge.
Yep. All right, let's move on. big giant snowstorm that happened in New York City. In fact, Casey Neistat just put out a video about the snowstorm. So if you want to check that out, go after the show. But Grubhub, DoorDash shut down because of the travel ban that happened at 9 o'clock and then reopened like the next day. But something interesting, Uber Eats and Instacart did not respond to this article. So I don't know if they actually shut down or not, but pretty interesting there. Either way, I know a lot of customers, from what I heard when it came to that, were not too happy because they're like, I can't get my DoorDash or Grubhub. Dude, there's a freaking blizzard. You can't go out.
Look, man, it just comes and goes. I mean, look, I'm not familiar with shutdowns and things like that like you guys are because I live.
Lucky. The fires can shut things down. So
yeah, different types of natural disasters happen here, like earthquakes and shit like that. But it makes sense, you know. Although I'm sure orders are going through the roof because nobody can leave their homes, and then they probably have a lot of demand. You know, I don't
know. Yeah. It was interesting to see that, as I always say, when there's travel bans and they still think that they're above the law and you can go out and travel. If the cops pull you over and you say, oh, I'm delivering for DoorDash, they don't care. They're still going to give you a ticket and say, get your ass home now. And then you owe money on top of it because you're going to have a fine. So you're not on top of that. You're not outside the law when it comes to that. So when it comes to these travel bans and things like that, just make sure you're aware of that. Best thing to do, don't go out, you know, enjoy the time off and don't risk it because, you know, if you don't know how to drive in that particular way or the other aspect is if somebody else doesn't know how to drive and something happens, you know, your life isn't worth losing because you want to make a few extra dollars during a snowstorm when they're not even going to pay surge anyways. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't carry anybody's burrito in the snow. That's just not going to work.
All right, so that is our rundown. Sergio.
Yes, sir.
Come on. 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
It was 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
All buckle right. up, shut up, get in, buckle up, drive.
Yep. All right, well, let's move on to our next topic, and that is a new scam with the same end game.
Yeah.
And so this is a pretty interesting story on the setup. Mm-hmm. So drivers, listen to this because, you know, this is something that you may not pay attention to. Obviously, moral of the story, without saying, Uber and Lyft will not ask for your information and they will not talk to you about anything when it comes to payment or anything like that. So if you hear those key words, it's a scam. It's not real. Hang up. Unfortunately, a lot of these people are probably newer drivers that don't understand it. And those people get taken advantage of. And when it comes to this, it's all about numbers, and that's what they're working on. But the more people we can make aware, the more people that won't fall victim to this. So, that's an unfortunate thing. So let's go through this. It says, good morning, Sergio. My name is, I censored that. I drive for Uber and Lyft, or I drive for Uber and was scammed recently. I was on my way to pick up a passenger when I received a call with an Uber recording. I thought it was the passenger when a guy introduced himself as a rep of Uber. So it starts off very similar to what we've seen, but how they go about it is a little bit different. So he asked how my day was going. I replied, fine. And then he said, unfortunately, one of my passengers complained that I wasn't the driver that was supposed to be picking him up. Yeah. So that's the difference right there. Now they're getting, you know, they're coming at it from different angles. Oh, VIP support. Oh, now they're saying that you didn't look like the person that you're supposed to be. So that, you know, this is probably some sort of driver that was out there already. And understands the game, unfortunately. So then goes on and said, I notice you are on your way to pick up your passenger, but unfortunately I have to cancel your ride and verify that you are the correct driver on the account. And then the ride canceled, obviously, because it's the passenger. Passenger knows that information, then they're going to cancel the ride. Pay attention too. It will tell you passenger canceled ride. Because the Uber recording, the fact that the ride was canceled, scam didn't even cross the mind. Began having diarrhea of the mouth and verifying all the information.
Oh, shit.
Phone call is said they could verify through the Uber Pro card. There you go. Payment system. They said they were sending you a PIN and to verify. Red flag number 92. Never, ever give out any PIN, any verification code, anything like that that comes in. I know it sounds so stupid on my part, but again, under the circumstance, I wasn't even thinking, right, just want to get back to driving. And a lot of people will say that. That's exactly what happens. They try to get you with urgency and confusion, and that's exactly what happened to this driver. So it's an unfortunate aspect. So basically, in that short conversation, they emptied my week's worth of driving. After I hung up, I realized it didn't seem right knowing Uber won't call you. Then quickly realized it was a passenger I was picking up. That was why they were able to cancel the ride. I know it's my fault as I was the idiot, but the problem I'm having is I can't get my bank account changed. I talked over chat on the phone with several agents that give me the same directions. I keep telling and showing screenshots that the response is not working, just as a person giving the same response before. Because of the fraud, I've changed my bank accounts. All I'm trying to do is update my information. They keep sending my money to a bank that's been closed, and I have to explain every week to the bank that Uber fails to get this matter resolved. Just don't understand how a simple task is becoming so difficult. And that's a pain in the ass as well, too, on top of it. So I'm asking, is there any way to contact? Unfortunately, we don't have any ability, but this is something where, again, all the time they're trying different things when it comes to this. It's met with confusion and it's met with urgency. And these types of things usually are good talkers, fast talkers. And the story may sound very convincing, but if any part feels off, take a moment, recap everything. And if they're looking at anything when it comes to a PIN code or a verification code that's being sent to you, or they're talking about payment information, that is 100% going right into scam territory. So the moral of the story is just pay attention. And unfortunately, when it comes to these things, you got to be more aware at all of the different tactics that they might try. The fact that they said that, hey, it seems that, you know, somebody has complained that you don't look like your passengers or your photo. That is new. That is different. That is a new tactic that they are using. So it's an unfortunate circumstance, but again, it's something that you got to pay attention to, and we just want to make you aware of it. It's the same exact thing as the Uber rep scam. It's just a different aspect of
it. Yeah, I mean, I get a couple of these, not too many, but I get a couple of these a week. I mean, we've done this how many times, Chris? At least 10 times, right, about these scams? Yep. And if you look at the marketplace of, I don't know, 5-6 million drivers in the U.S., and some or half, let's say, don't even speak English, they're more scammable, honestly. I mean, this guy got scammed and he speaks English, he understands English, and he gave him all his information. I mean, look, my suggestion to you folks, say F off and hang up. Don't worry about it. You're not going to insult anybody at Uber because they're not the ones they're calling. Just say F off and hang up, period.
Yep, exactly. And just pay attention with those when it comes down to it. I mean, we've talked about, the several different kind. It's just that this is kind of a hot topic issue right now where they're talking about that, where, you know, people aren't matching their things. So people are watching the news and they're like, oh, I can use that as a scam. Sure as shit, there it is. So you pay attention.
Only time Uber will call you is if you get in a crash, and they will detect the crash because of the gyroscope in your phone, and then they'll call you. The safety team will call you at that time. So that may be one way Uber will call you.
Or if you put in safety report.
Yeah. But otherwise, cancel this, go pick this VIP up, there's a $100 tip, blah, blah, blah. Bro, come on, wake up, people. No. So go F off. Hang up.
Yep. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about Uber and their wait pay. Oh, this is getting interesting. There's some transparency when it regards wait pay.
I like it. I like it. Look, see, Uber, I said I like it. See?
For those who are just listening and not looking at the screen right now, basically it just shows the screenshots of when you get to a pickup and you are waiting for the rider. It gives that 2-minute countdown. And then after that, it actually shows you what you're earning, with the earning 35 cents a minute, and it tells you the time frame. So it's actually pretty good.
I do like this, actually. So email me one more time. I don't remember who you are, but I get too many, so email me. Sergio@therideshareguy.com. So what happens now is that on the left, you guys can see the way it looks, right? The clock is ticking down. And then once it does, now it tells you by the minute you're waiting, depends on the, what city you're in, obviously. You know, I think it's going to be different in different cities probably. But now, instead of a clock, there's a counter, dollar counter or penny counter, let's call it. Let's call it penny counter. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's a penny counter that's counting for the time you're waiting. Before, it would be like 2 minutes, and then it will be another 3 minutes or 5 minutes now for you to be able to go ahead and cancel. Now, it's showing you how much you're getting paid for waiting, which I really like, Uber. This is really cool. So don't F this one up. Let's not glitch this one up, Uber, because this is pretty cool. So I go, cool. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's nice to see something finally a little bit more transparent when it comes to what you can expect.
You know, we did how many segments? We did about like when the driver gets there, the pin wasn't, well, they wouldn't be able to get to the pin and the counter wouldn't be starting. Maybe they were setting up for this and that's why drivers were saying, there's no counter. What happened to my counter? Maybe that was the reason. So
possible.
Email me.
But, I mean, how many times have you seen the pin is just outside the reach of where you're able to actually even get?
Sometimes it happens.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, you can't get that. So what? Hopefully those types of things actually get solved.
You can get 91 cents a minute while waiting during what? They pay for surge? Why don't you send me some screenshots? Mark 8306. Wow.
I like it.
I like it.
The wait 91. Time is going to have surge attached to it. I like it.
Surge on wait time. I like it. So why don't like you send that. Me a couple of screenshots of that? Let me see. Let me see that.
Yeah, send surge it our way, Marco.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So let's talk about the same ride, different pay. And why is it a different ride type that's coming in? So in these two screenshots, it is the, if you look at the map, it is different. So the map they're putting the route is going to be different. But it's essentially still going to the exact same spot. You're getting picked up at LAX. You're going to Universal Hollywood Drive, for both of them. It is the same ride that's coming in, cause it's the same star rating and all that. But why does one have UberX and one have UberX priority? We've seen this a number of times when it comes to the screenshots. So what's going on here, Sergio? Do you understand what this all, why these are coming in like this?
Yeah, well, the route is different, number one. You're going to the same destination, but in LA, you can go to the same route, by the way, four different ways. So the algo, what the algo did, well, what happened on this case, I'm assuming, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. First of all, the one on the left is a snap decline, folks. The 2315 in that traffic for an hour, and no. But let's not talk about the dollars. Let's talk about one is UberX, then the rider cancels. They freak out. They're going to LAX. I mean, they're going to Universal, picking up from LAX, and maybe they're in a rush or something. And they go, they think by paying more and ordering UberX priority, they're going to get a car faster. I'm like, yep. No, riders, don't fall for that either. You're just not going to get any of that.
But right there is part of the reason why it explains that it goes from UberX to UberX priority for the same ride from the same rider.
Yeah.
Granted, especially the route difference. If it was same exact route and it came in, that may send like what's going on here. But you can definitely tell in this aspect, the ride was canceled and then reordered as a priority. Likely, as you said, they want to get to their destination. And whatever's happening, they're not getting picked up, probably because getting paid $23.15 for that hour, they're not going to want to do that.
Yeah. But the other thing is the difference between the first one and the second one is, so there is a $4.53 priority pickup charge, getting the drivers getting paid on the second trip, the one on the right. And if you deducted $4.53 from $24.76, you're left with like $20.23. So that's a haircut, folks, you're getting.
Ah, but is it? Well, it's not. And I'll tell you exactly why. This is why you need to pay attention to these things as well, too.
Let's do it.
Because it's a different route. So if you're looking at the two different routes,
one
route is 4 miles less.
Yeah, for sure.
So but that is part of the reason right there why there's a discrepancy when it comes to the pay. Again, if it was the exact same route, you could talk about that being an issue. In this aspect, I think it's actually priced probably the exact same way. The difference is because it is going from 25.5 miles to 21.5 miles. Yeah. That's why you're seeing that lower. the lower base pay, but higher though still with the X priority because of the 453. Something to remember and keep in mind to that.
For sure. The algo is doing its thing. It's shorter distance, same time though, same duration, shorter distance. I don't know why the algo would throw the second one that way, because time-wise is not making any difference, honestly. Like, they're both about an hour, right?
So yeah. The only difference is it would be a four mile less.
Yeah, 4 mile less. I've done this trip many times, and it is an absolute disaster of a trip. And I can assure you, when I used to do this trip, this would definitely not be anything less than 30 to 35 to the driver. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to here. So, and 24.35, by the way, is right at the Prop 22 kind of a threshold right there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's where the business is at. $25 an hour before expenses.
So either way, this is another reason why you should pay attention to these things with a fine tooth comb. But yeah, I know a lot of people are saying, why is it going from UberX to UberX Priority? Now, could they be switching it to make it seem? It's possible, but the reality is, in certain circumstances, it's going to be where the passenger actually canceled the ride and reordered the ride, thinking that changing it from X to Priority is going to get it to them fast, is going to get them to their destination faster.
I mean, look,
I'm sure Uber's loving that because they're like, oh yeah, we can charge more. We can charge more for the same ride. In fact, I bet he probably got paid more, and then they had the shorter route of 4 miles. So they're like, oh yeah, well, we don't really have to change the pay when it comes to the driver. And so we get to collect the difference.
That's a good question. Why did they not route it that way in the first one, the first offer? Good question.
Honestly, it could be real-time traffic.
Well, the time is the same. Maybe it's a minute less, it looks like. But
the thing is, it could be real-time traffic. Just in that time frame, there could have been something on the one route where, you know, now there's a backup that's being caught, or a slowdown or an accident, because they do get their information from Google. So they use Google's API in order to figure out what's going. So they could actually, that original route, if you took it, instead of being 57 minutes, maybe you get trapped in some sort of wait time dilemma, and now it ends up being an hour and a half. Who knows? I couldn't tell you the reason.
Well, the screenshots are taken within a minute apart. So these two orders, the two Trip Radar orders, by the way, came through literally, you know, one after the other. So this definitely shows this is an inexperienced rider. It says 1:11. I'm assuming it's 1:11 in the afternoon. There is 500 cars in queue at LAX. This is an LAX pickup. You don't need to order priority at LAX pickup, sir. All you did is we made Uber richer. That's all you did, but that's fine. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also the fact that if they went from X to priority, is the fact they weren't getting picked up. And that's probably why they were offering drivers this $23.15.
Well,
and nobody was taking it. That's probably why it came back.
Why nobody was taking it? Because the offer on the left is not takeable.
Neither is the offer on the right. But
well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I know.
But either way, I mean, yeah. So that is one of the things when it comes down to these switches. It could potentially just be that the rider is changing the ride, and maybe they ordered it wrong, and it went out and it was dispatched anyway, and then they canceled it and then it came back out again. Unfortunately, that is happening, and that's where we're seeing some of this quote unquote bug that Sashin was talking about. But in reality, we've seen too many screenshots that just does not explain that, because this is minutes of time. So we'll talk about that part in a little bit, whether that bug was fixed or not. But yeah, when it comes down to it, that explains sometimes why there is a difference when it comes to the ride type, even though it is the same passenger that is actually ordering the ride. And so if you notice that, that's part of the thing there. And then same thing, that's another thing when it comes to knowing your markets, two different routes, you know, which route, let's pretend these numbers didn't exist. Let's pretend you got that $35. What route would you take, Sergio?
Before front fares, definitely the longer route.
Well, no, as of now.
Oh, as of now? I'll just put it I'll put it in my Google or Waze just to see whichever one is quicker. If I can save myself a few minutes, I'll take the shorter route. But you also have to understand, Chris, on the back end, you don't know what this is the route that Uber is suggesting the driver to take. You understand?
Yep.
You don't know how Uber is calculating on the back end what route, because you can go to Universal Studios, by the way, that's the exact same hotel. You can go up to 405, off the 10, up to 110, all the way to the right through downtown, and you can take the 101 up, and that could be like 28 miles. So maybe Uber on the back end is, you know, is figuring out the longest route for the rider and then sending you the shortest route for the driver.
They've been doing that for years. That was before. That was when fares were decoupled from the passenger, and they had the upfront estimate fare for the passenger way back when. They started doing that, and then the same thing. They want you to take the nice, short, quick route. But yeah,
if I had a, if I had a 4X surge, all days, long mile, all the way, long mile, without hurting the rider. Same time, but longer miles. That's all.
All right, so we talked about this last week, and this was where Uber's upfront fare info was really burning drivers, and this was a problem when it came to what we saw when it came to New York going to the other side of Newark in Jersey. Here's another one coming from Long Island, which is by outside Brentwood and Central Islip, all the way to the Bronx, which is a nice freaking drive, and it's telling you, I love this screenshot. It's telling you this, the 14 minutes, 6 mile to pick up. That's accurate right there. But it's telling you that the trip from that area all the way into the Bronx is 0 miles or less than a minute. So the total pay that they're showing you is $8.23 for this, even though it shows you a 45 minute long trip, which that definitely is. I've driven that many a time.
That's and then it has the long trip 45 minute tag on it on top of that. Hey, Uber.
Yep.
This is
what's going on here, Uber.
Well, first of all, I'm hoping to God that nobody takes these things. Okay. just seriously, because you know what? Again, you know, we're not here for conspiracy theories, but if a driver sees 8:23, Chris, and looks at 6 mile pickup. Hold on.
It's not a round trip. It's one way. Otherwise, you'd see the map would be completely different.
No, there's no round trip, bro. It's just freaking forever. That trip, how many miles is that, Chris, actually?
It's mileage, I don't know, but the traffic is what's killing
you. Yeah, it's more than a minute.
The bridge,
more than a
mile. Especially getting into, when you're getting to Queens there, and then going into Bronx. I mean, depending too on the time of day.
Well, I'm thinking this. If a driver is inexperienced and sees 6 mile pickup and less than a minute drop off, they may accept this actually. And don't pay attention to the map or anything, you know?
Yeah, because that's why you gotta pay attention to everything.
I mean,
and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, what the hell's going on? This is over.
And then once they accept it, they go like, oh shit, look at this thing. And like, yeah, well, that's why, folks, you gotta pay attention. You gotta pay attention to this shit. So should we call this a bug again? Another bug?
I'm gonna say it's a bug that they're gonna. I mean, it. This obviously is a bug. This is no matter how you look at it, that is absolutely a bug, because there is no way that you're going from that area all the way to the Bronx at 0 miles. There's no way. The map is correct. Like the upper map is correct. The pickup is correct. So the time and distance from the from where that driver is to the actual pickup point is correct. And then the drop off saying 184th and Morris, that's going to be correct. The problem is it's the distance and time that's associated with that. Even the long trip notification there is correct. So all of those things right there are correct minus that time and distance. And that's where the fare is absolutely getting the driver burned.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm thinking like what it could be. Could it be that the rider did not enter a destination, proper destination? I don't know why it's happening.
No, there's a end destination there. So the destination is set. It's got to be
something. Algo is not recognizing it. It's that far. The algo is not recognizing that it's that far.
No, it is, because it's telling you it's a long trip, 45 minutes. It's only a 14 minute to pick up. And it's going to be an hour. I mean, depending on the time of the day, it could be 2 hours just going.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know, so Uber, take a screenshot of this and let me know what's going on there. You guys are good at taking screenshots. Take a screenshot of this one.
Either way, yeah, we're seeing more and more of this again. So if you are noticing this, go ahead, take a screenshot, send it to us. And then that way we can, you know, continue highlighting what's going on. But the big thing is, would you take something like that knowing that it's a glitch and the possibility that you're only going to get paid $8.23? Because even though you're going to dispute the fare, they're going to come back and say, oh, no, that was correct.
Oh, wow. Imagine that disaster. No.
Oh, Jesus.
No. Don't do it. Yeah.
Either way, be careful.
Okay.
1 hour and two. Well, that's current right now. If you're looking at it and saying it's 1 hour and 2 minutes, depending on the time of the day and depending on, you know, what's going on, if the bridge is backed up, you could be there for 2 hours. You know, there was times where we drove back from Long Island going to the Bronx. And, you know, obviously this is Sunday night where everybody's coming back into the city. But, you know, that was like 2.5-3 hours drive just for, you know, 15 minutes or the last 15 miles of the journey. So,
yeah. No, I'll find out. I mean, I'm curious, actually. This is the second time, right? The last week we showed one. This week we're showing one.
Yep. Well, I mean, okay. I've been seeing it more and more across the board. So this is definitely something that you just got to watch out for and pay attention to.
We'll figure it out. But I'm sure it's a bug.
Yeah, just a bug. It honestly, I mean, it's got to be some sort of bug that's not carrying over. I don't think it. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, Uber, to do something like that, but I also don't think that all the other information is correct there. It's just the time and distance isn't getting carried over from, you know, whatever in the system to carry over the fare properly.
All right. It's fixable.
All right. Oh, it's absolutely fixable by putting out the right information.
Yeah, we'll fix it.
All right. Well, let's go on to our next topic, and that is, did Uber fix the fare offer when they come in? No, they did not. They said it was a bug. But it's not.
Well, come on. Okay. So, folks, I'm asking you guys to send me all of these, all of them. This is continuing. Sachin, it's continuing, Sachin. It's not a bug, Sachin. It's happening.
Oh, it's not a bug, and we have proof why it's not a bug.
Okay.
Coming up in the next part.
So, all I'm saying is fix it or three-letter agencies are probably going to call me. All I'm saying is just fix it, bro. Fix it. Come on. I guess it's not fixed, Chris.
So, either way, you know, we've been through it. And basically, what happens is you get a ride request coming in. It depends. It doesn't matter if it's TripRadar or Exclusive. You get something that comes in. It times out. Or maybe if it's TripRadar, you won't go to accept it. And then just right after, it comes back as the Exclusive. Or it comes back as a TripRadar or whatever, and it's a lower pay. We've seen that many times before. They claim it was a bug, but in this case, you know what? It's not. It's happening still. It's a problem. And, you know, the next topic we're going to be talking about is on Lyft's side. And, you know, that makes me believe that it's 100% put into the offer on purpose. So they might be shopping around saying, oh, six people clicked on it. You know, we're going to lower the fare. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking on the back end. But for those, again, who are just listening, the first offer came in at $344 and the offer pay was $860. It was a 12-minute, 5.8-mile to pick up, 12-minute, 3.3-mile actual ride. And then it came in 2 minutes later, $346. But instead of $860, it was down to $611. Same exact trip. Same exact rider, and nothing has changed. The only thing that was changed was the pickup distance was calculated at 5.8 miles to the rider, and the second one is 5.6 miles to the rider. But does that constitute over a $2.50 haircut? No, absolutely not.
0.2 mile?
Yeah. No, yeah, 0.2 mile. They're giving you a $2.
Uber, I don't want to cuss today. So, we're going to put one of these every week. We have plenty. Don't worry.
Oh, no. Hold on. We got another one.
Just fix this thing, man. You're brilliant over there. You're a bunch of geniuses over there, man. Just fix the damn thing.
Here's another one. So this is in the Orlando area, and it's going from Orlando to Merritt Island. And they're paying, with the 5% advantage included, this is a 1.3-mile to pick up and 56.8-mile drive. And guess how much they're paying for 56.8 miles?
60
$29.93.
No, not 60 cents. 50 cents.
Yeah, 50 cents. That's a problem. Florida's been like 50 cents for the longest freaking time. It's insane. Absolutely insane.
Either way.
Here's where the fun little difference is, because you know how we said it goes UberX to UberX Priority? Well, this is probably one of those that did cancel and then reorder as a UberX Priority, because they probably were not getting picked up from a venture way in Orlando and then wanting to go to Merritt Island. So whatever reason that was, you know, 3 minutes later, it comes in as an UberX Priority. But here's the best part. It's $32.85.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, same exact thing. The exact same time from, I'm sorry, the exact same pickup to drop off mileage. So it's 56.8 miles. The only difference is 1.1 mile to or 1.3 mile to 1.2 mile in the trip. And they're giving you a little bit of a pay cut, even though it looks like a bump because of the 458 included for the priority. Problem is, you take that. Now, this is where you take that 32.85 minus 458. You're definitely getting a haircut there because it's lower than 29.93. If you did the 458, you'd be looking at 34.50 or something at that point. 34.51 total. Still not worth to ride at all. And that person probably is going to be sitting there.
The other thing is, you know, whatever you said, Merritt Island, right? So whatever is getting dropped off, I'm pretty sure it's dead there. And somebody said that here actually in the chat. Yeah, here. I'm from Orlando, also Merritt Island, dead zone, 90% empty trip back. Folks, okay, there's a saying here for these types of things. It's called decline and recline. And that's what you need to do. I mean, I know it sounds enticing. 1 hour of work, $30, $33.
Yeah, but you got to do the hour back. Now you're bringing it down to 15.
Most people will take that, though, honestly, seriously. For they look at an hour, $33 an hour, $5-6 expenses, they'll take it. They shouldn't, but they will.
Yeah. You know? So in any event, that just goes to show you that these prices are arbitrary and meaningless and, you know, don't take shit pay.
Yeah.
We
have to really, really fix two things here, right? We really have to do, I have to do a better job campaigning. We did one, they put it in Business Insider, you know, our glitch, Sachin's glitch, they put it in the Business Insider.
Well, what we just talked about, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to do a better job with journalists to explain this to them because they don't understand what the fuck is going on.
Well, I think we need to go beyond that and start going to AGs, state AGs.
Sounds
I think
we
need to look into that and say, what's going on here? This is, you know, same exact trip coming in at different pay. Why is that happening? What's going on here?
I mean, less pay.
Yeah. So I think what needs to happen is state AGs need to get involved or, you know, different people like that, three letter agencies. That's the only way. Yeah. Because here's the thing. It's not just happening on Uber. No. That's right. Lyft is now showing the same exact thing. So we are seeing shaving happening on Lyft as well. Yeah, so here is their trip radar. That's 9:13 coming in. And then the same exact ride, same exact person, because it tells you the name, Tara Verified 5.0. The fact of having those two come in at different times is next impossible. So seeing the two there, you're going from 9:13 to 8:51. Lyft. Stop.
Holy shit.
Just because your stock is at $16?
No, it's 13.
Doesn't mean. Oh, that's right. Yes, I'm sorry. Just because your stock is now $13? Yes, it's up 9% from last year, but it's down X amount of 22% from its earlier high. Yeah. But here's the problem with this.
Wow.
This shit should not happen.
Okay, you know, we gave a pass when we did our algorithmic wage discrimination video with More Perfect Union to Lyft because their discrepancies were a lot wider than Uber's. We gave them a pass, right? On this one, though, this is one place, Liv, that you're messing with the wrong dog here. This is one place you should not be copying Uber. Okay? Seriously. So, Jeremy, I'm going to send you these two screenshots. I need you to explain it to me. On TripRadar, and the pickup, drop-off, miles, and times are identical. And you ping the driver for, like, what is this now? 62 cents less?
Yep.
Or shit. No. Let's cut this off. Let's just copy Uber. Copy Uber when they do something good. Don't copy Uber when they do something like this, something sinister like this. This is interesting to me. It really is. I wouldn't have expected Lyft to do this. But then I guess they're doing it. Okay. All right. Jeremy? Yeah,
whatever you can do to try to boost your profits, widen that gap. That's what they're going to do. But so, yeah, this is another thing. So Lyft, if you are driving Lyft, send the screenshots again here. So if you're seeing the Ride Finder pop up and you're seeing the exclusive come in at a different price.
Hold on a second, though. Hold on a second.
What?
Okay, on the TripRadar, the pickup is 1.7 miles and 8 minutes. On the ping is 1.5 miles and 8 minutes.
Okay, so you should have a 0.2 tenths or 2 tenths of a mile.
2 tenths of a mile is equal 7%.
I don't think so.
Okay, I mean, that could be their explanation. So I'm just saying it could be it. Because most likely they're going to come back with that. They go like, well, it's 2 tenths closer, that's why.
Yeah, that still doesn't seem, no. Okay. So either way, I think that Lyft, we're gonna put the word out now. So everybody, again, you see something like this, whether it's Ride Finder or the exclusive coming into you, you see a price discrepancy, screenshots, send it to Sergio at theRideshareGuy.com.
Please do. All screenshots like this with discrepancies, Uber specifically, because their head of product said, it should not be happening. It's a bug. We're rolling out fixes. Not happening. Still going on. All right.
Yep. All right. So let's move on and let's talk about why is Uber's upfront fares not mathing? What is going on here? So this was actually sent to us in an email earlier, if you remember the first offer, second offer, third offer, talking about the different pays. Problem is, they put this in as saying that these are two different screenshots coming in. That's not true. These are two completely different rides that are coming in. But when I started looking at it, I was actually not even going to put this in because it wasn't relevant. But then I started looking at it. I said, wait a minute. What's going on here? So you notice the pickup and drop-offs are very similar. They're just opposite. So in the the first one, you have to drive a whole 16 minutes or 7.8 miles to go pick up the passenger and then backtrack to where you've been essentially through the driving, 13 minutes or 4.1 miles to drop the passenger off. You're getting paid $8.68. Now here's the weird thing. You look at the other screenshot, that is 10 minutes, 2.9 miles to the drive, to the pickup. And then instead of backtracking at all, no, you're going on 12 minutes, 5.5 miles, and they're paying you $8.12. How does that make sense to you, Sergio?
No, none of this makes sense. I mean, no, this is ridiculous pricing, first of all. Dara, I mean, 23 minutes of work for $8.68 before expenses? Seriously? Tell this fucker to take the bus. And the other one is again 22 minutes for $8.12. Bro, I swear you can't even buy a double now for like less than $7 in LA. This is ridiculous. $8. This is third world freaking pay. Seriously. $8 for 22 minutes of work? No, man. Please, folks, please don't do these. Don't take these. Don't just give him the opportunity to exploit you and screw you, man. Don't do it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, though, it makes no sense. I mean, the amount that you have to drive in the first ride is like double. It's wild.
That's crazy.
Because you're, I mean, if you can see the screenshots better, obviously those who are not listening, or I mean, those who are just listening and not being able to see it, you can't see the visual representation, but that, I mean, it's literally the same exact route. The only difference is that the driver or the passengers at the farthest point away on the first pickup. And then you have to backtrack all the way with the passenger in the car, like halfway back. And then the other one is you're driving through, but the difference is 50 cents. I mean, the first one, yeah, I understand you're not getting paid to the, have the passenger in the car. I mean, that's the point when you get paid, not to, to go pick it up. But when you have a longer pickup like that, you should have some sort of, you know, extra. Why the hell would I drive 16 minutes or 7.8 miles for 50 cents extra? Just that. That makes no sense there.
Yeah, well, none of it makes sense.
Period two.
Any pricing doesn't make sense. What happened to giving the rider? No, that, they haven't been doing that for years now. So that's, they don't do that. Yeah, no, this is, this pricing is all horrible, bro. I don't know what city that was from, but that's just, that's not.
It looked like it was outside Columbus.
Okay, that's not living wage. That's bullshit. That's, yeah. That's, come on. What the fuck? Anyway, okay.
Right. Either way, moral of the story is don't take crap. Line and recline, as Sergio says.
100%.
But yeah, if that's the other thing. If you got a couple of trips that are very similar like that, but the pricing just doesn't seem right because the ride just, it doesn't make any sense, send it our way and let us know, because dissecting those rides can be pretty fun. But either way, it's just things to watch out for, especially that first one. That first one's an absolute joke. I mean, why would you want to travel all that way just to pick up a passenger and then drop them off? That'd be better as a shared ride or a queued ride where you got, you're literally picking up the passenger, going, dropping them off, then picking up that second, the first passenger, and then taking them back. That would be a better as a queued ride, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is a no-no, folks. 2 weeks for a background check on Uber, and I'm still not back online. Just bought a car to drive Uber. Why would you do that, sir?
I hope it's not a new car.
Well, he didn't put that in. I'm kind of hoping to God that it's not. Yeah, man. Now what are you going to do? Why do people do this kind of thing? And I don't, I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know.
Yeah. All I know is I hope it wasn't a new car. If it's a new car, oh boy. If it's a used car, hey, that's a little bit different, but hopefully you'll get back online in a little bit. All right, let's move on though. Let's talk about Uber is moving to enact stricter background checks for drivers.
All for it.
Bum.
Is it pig? Well, is it lipstick on a pig though? Or are they gonna really going to do something about it?
I think that they kind of have to at this point do a little bit something, but they're talking about how they're considering changing the policies for other offenses, including harassment, restraining order violations, weapon charges, which are generally allowed if the convictions are more than 7 years old. They're also preparing to change policies to bar people convicted of violent felonies, sexual offenses, and child or elder abuse and endangerment from driving for Uber, regardless of when those crimes occurred. So there's a few things that they're going to be changed. So drivers, if you're watching and you're one of those people, you might get booted.
Yeah, I definitely think there is room for improvement when it comes to these background checks, because we've been talking about this for a while, and the checker watered down background check is not obviously enough, because, you know, Emily Steele with New York Times has been pounding Uber with those sexual assault cases. And, you know, those, the background checks, you know, let's say you assaulted somebody or sexually assaulted somebody, it's in your record. But then you move cities, and the Uber only does the background check for that city that you moved in. They don't go back far enough or do a national, you know, database check on you. And then you go do the same thing again. It costs Uber money, it changes somebody's life and all that stuff. But I hope they're serious about it. Okay. So Uber is preparing to change those policies to bar people convicted of violent felonies, sexual offenses, and child or elder abuse. According to people briefed on the matter, it's unclear when and how the changes will go into effect. I would really like to know that, Uber. The company also is considering changing its policies for other offenses, including harassment, restraining order violations, and weapons charges. Holy shit. Which are generally allowed in the convictions that are more than 7 years old. I think, I mean, you know, I'm all for giving people a second chance, but I know for a fact that there are people who should not be on this goddamn platform currently. Yep. That includes the fake drivers, fake ID and stolen ID and all that stuff. I mean, look, Uber.
Oh, those are the biggest.
Well, we're gonna talk about that tomorrow with someone. But I'm all for tougher background checks, because maybe they can, you know, weed out the bad apples, because there certainly are some people who should not be on these platforms. Period. It just should not be.
Yep. definitely. I agree with that. I mean, certain people shouldn't, but, you know, unfortunately the problem is, you know, I think this is more of a puff piece than anything, especially with the, all the cases that are going on and, you know, the judgment that was just passed down a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I don't think it's going to really have an impact. The other side of the coin is, what about passengers? Again, during that thing that Uber had put out, I don't remember their safety report or whatever, whether it's flawed or not, I don't care. But what it did show was that half come from passengers to drivers.
It's certainly underreported.
Oh,
certainly underreported. I don't think there's only 6,000 cases or whatever. But, you know, our side, being driver's advocates, I want to talk to Emily Steele from New York Times, because she's always talking about from the driver to the rider, rapes, assaults, and things like that. And I'm hoping, you know, she's going to do some work about the other side of the coin, which is from the rider to the driver. Mm-hmm. If it's 50-50, why should that get just the priority? Why shouldn't the driver stories get the priority? And there are many drivers. But I think the riders are more inclined to come forward and tell their stories and, you know, complain or file complaints or whatever, than drivers, because drivers, like, if I do this, they're going to deactivate me. I need the money, you know, maybe hush hush about it and whatever not. But at a 50-50 situation, driver rights should not be underestimated at any cost. So I will reach out to
you. But you got to remember, what was in that report was what was reported.
Yeah.
So clearly it's been underreported on both sides,
yeah.
Whether or not, you know, there's a skew between, you know, more passengers or more drivers.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what I do know is that
there is
a problem.
Underreported more on the driver's side, probably, you know, because they're afraid to get deactivated or whatever. I'm not saying it's not underreported for the riders. I'm pretty sure that's underreported too, because they don't want to be.
They're both going to be.
But absolutely. I think the drivers.
But like I say, depending on
complain, you know, drivers.
Yeah, drivers complain. Let's be real, they do. But yeah, you know, the thing is it underreported in terms of more than 50-50, or would it skew one way or the other? Once you took into account anything that wasn't reported.
Hold on, you did not make three grand. You gross $3,000. What is the rental of a Tesla that you can do black with? You still haven't figured this shit out, Buddha. You didn't make $3,000. And that's the goddamn problem with you. Anyway, probably paying $1,000 freaking week for that Tesla with a black.
Anyway, hey, then that means he netted $2,000.
$2,000 is better than nothing.
Yeah, I'm straight. I know a lot of people who couldn't
for
do
LA,
that.
For LA, $2,000 is solid.
All right. Anything else there, Sergio?
No. Let's see. No. Oh, shameless plug. Go to my website. Learn about investing. SergioAvidian.com. The last two blog articles, bro, they were awesome. They really were awesome.
Yeah, they were pretty good. Yeah. I read them. And then again,
you can listen to now, by the way. You can listen to now. There's a listen button. You can listen to them now. You don't have to read them.
Oh, to listen to the article?
Yeah.
I've seen those. I never click them.
Well, no, I mean, if you're driving and you want to listen, you listen, number one. And number two, it's also in Spanish.
I know, but if I could get it, like, in a Scarlett Johansson voice, then I'd be okay.
Are you like, all right, cool. Huge crush on Scarlett Johansson? Is that what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
Is your wife absolutely watching this?
She knows.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't hide it from her. I'm just saying. So I mean, it's all good. I enjoy my Black Widow.
Anyway, no, nothing more. We're going to talk to local reporters about fake accounts and stuff. So we're going to work on that. I tagged today's when I tweeted the show's whatever. Tweeted it. I tagged Sachin. So you are correct. Going forward, when I do tweet, I am going to tag the three-letter agencies.
There you go. Yes.
We have Sabres Devils segments.
Tomorrow. Can't wait. It's been 20 days since the last Sabres game, so go Sabres.
Yeah. No, I did not see Messi, but Messi's retired, 40 years old. Do you see Barca take the lead in the Spanish La Liga, though? Hola, Madrid. What happened to Madrid? Madrid lost to the 12th place team last weekend. Buda. Anyway.
and side note, congrats to the men's and women's hockey teams for taking gold.
For kicking Canada's gold, ass. Baby.
Woo!
But, you know, Canada's our 51st state, so it's okay. Better. We just kicked our little...
No, that's over. Greenland.
Is that Greenland? Well, Canada's 52 now?
Well, Canada, all the provinces will be split into states. So there you go.
Driver's Corner, we can do next week. How about we do Driver's Corner next week? We haven't done Driver's Corner.
Well, that'll depend. I mean, honestly, the topics were shorter than expected. But
you can do Driver's Corner. We can do it now.
It depends. You said you have a hard cutoff in 3 minutes.
I do
minutes.
Because the doorbell is ringing. My son is a fan of the door. But
so there you go.
You can take me off.
No, we could do that. You know, when there's not people on, like guests. But either way, yeah. When it comes back to our guest earlier, you know, Safeguard Properties. If you're interested in putting another tool in your tool belt, sign up there for Safeguard Properties. Become an inspector. Go try it out. See if you like it. If you do, awesome. If you don't, hey, no problem. But at least you get to try it out. I believe they have an offer too, but I don't know. I have to double check with that.
I'm very interested.
So, yeah. I mean, honestly, and then you build a team of people underneath you and you're like, go out and you do your work. I collect the money and you guys get your pay. I get your work and we all get good.
I'll do it. I'll do it to see what kind of money is involved in that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I like it for the fact that, you know, you can kind of stack it. So during those times where it's dead or quiet or, you know, you want to do something at a certain time, but you know it's dead during that time for rideshare, me especially being rideshare, you know, that's something is going to be pretty good to check out because then you can kind of schedule the way you want.
I agree, for sure. All right, cool.
All right, well, we will see you guys next week.